Chapter 16. I want us to start reading in verse number 21. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 21. The Bible says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day and this opportunity to be in church. Thank you for those that are present. Lord, please now in these next moments, help us to be able to focus our attention on your word. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move and work, would open our eyes, would show us truth, would deal with our hearts, would change our lives. Lord, I can't do anything that'll help anybody. It's going to be you if anything good gets done. So, Lord, we're dependent on you to work here, to honor and to bless your word as it goes forth. And we'll thank you for everything you accomplish in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title for the message today is Used by the Devil. Used by the Devil. And this message, Lord willing, is going to answer at least two questions. Number one, it's going to answer the question, can a Christian, a saved person, be used by the devil? And then secondly, it's going to answer the question, how do you know when you or someone else is being used by the devil? And in order to begin the process of answering these questions and also to lay a foundation for the main part of the message, I want us to look once again at the verses we just read here in Matthew chapter 16. And the first thing that I want to point out is in verse number 21. I want you to notice there the Lord's audience. I want you to notice who he's speaking to. And this is very important, especially when it comes to answering one of the two questions that I just mentioned. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples. Y'all see that? That's important information. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. And on this occasion, as he's speaking to his disciples, what he does is foretells his passion. Passion is biblical terminology that's used regarding what the Lord Jesus Christ did in order to pay for our sins. Many years back now, a movie came out called The Passion of the Christ. I think it was directed by Mel Gibson, that type of thing. And while the movie itself wasn't exactly biblical on all accounts, the terminology, the passion of the Christ, is biblical. In Acts chapter 1, it refers to the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ as his passion. And that's what he foretells to his disciples here in verse number 21. Notice it says that Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Three things there. He says, first of all, I got to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes. Those were the religious leaders. They were the ones that caused the Lord the most trouble during his earthly life and ministry, hands down. But what he says here, we know came to pass because we have the word of God. He did in fact go into Jerusalem and suffer many things at their hands. It was those people that were responsible for his betrayal. They were the ones that paid Judas 30 pieces of silver to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. They were the ones responsible for him being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. The ones responsible for bringing one false witness after another against him as he endured that kangaroo court and that mockery of a trial. It was these people responsible for delivering him to Pilate, the governor, who washed his hands in the presence of the people and said, "I am innocent of the blood of this just man." It is these people that were responsible for persuading a mob of people to demand the execution of the Lord Jesus Christ and the release of a murderer by the name of Barabbas. And it was these people that ultimately denied him as their king. So there's no doubt that he did go to Jerusalem and he suffered many things of these people, but also he says, and be killed. And he was killed. If you know your Bible, you've been in church, you understand that he was ultimately crucified at a place called Golgotha, the place of a skull. It was there that he gave up the ghost. But then notice, and be raised again the third day. That happened too, we know, according to the Bible. And all of what we're talking about here, all that Jesus mentions here in this verse, is what the Apostle Paul calls the gospel. That's the gospel that Paul preached. He preached the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as full and total payment for the sins of the world. So that now all a person has to do in order to be saved and have their sins forever washed away is put their trust and their faith in what Jesus Christ did for them. That's what you see here in verse number 21, him foretelling his passion, what he would do to take care of sin. But then you move on in verse number 22 and you see that immediately in response to this, Peter speaks up. Now Peter is one of his disciples, and if you know much about the Bible, you're not really surprised that Simon Peter is the one that spoke up, because he was the one that would speak up most of the time. And I really believe that the Lord recorded a lot of things that Peter said, because you and I, whether we realize it or not, are very, very similar to Simon Peter. If you look at his life, I tell you one thing that I see as I look at Peter. I see that constant struggle and battle that goes on in the life of every believer between the flesh and the spirit. Because when you look at Peter's life, there's times when he'll say something or do something and it's just wonderful. It's amazing. Actually, there's times he would open his mouth and he would say something that, according to the Lord, was divine. Something that did not come from him. It came straight from his Father in heaven. For example, look in this chapter right here, this same chapter. Look up at verse number 13 in this chapter, Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am, that I the Son of Man am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" It's just what other people are saying, but what do you say? You, my disciples, what do you say? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's a divine statement. Because look at what Jesus says in the next verse. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So he opens his mouth and he says something that's divine, straight from God the Father. And you see that in his life, how he'll say things and do things just wonderful. And then a lot of times it's open mouth and insert foot, isn't it? A lot of times he says something and he's well-meaning, but what he says is not right. He doesn't say what's right. He doesn't say it at the right time. He doesn't say it in the right way. It's just a beautiful picture of the flesh and the spirit, and it's something that all of us struggle with every day of our life. Aren't there times in your life when you do stuff that's right? Let me remind you of something this morning. It's not because you're good that you do what's right. It's because of the Spirit of God working through you that enables you to do anything that's right. So when you do right, don't try to take credit for it. Give all the glory to him, because it wasn't you, it was Jesus. I promise you that. But now here's the thing. When you do something wrong, take all the credit for that. Every bit of it. Just take it. Say, "That's me," because it is you. That's you in your flesh doing what's wrong. And that's how we all live. Sometimes we do good. Sometimes we do bad. When we do good, it's the spirit. When we do bad, it's the flesh. And we see that in Simon Peter. But look here. Chapter 16, verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Now, it wasn't too awful long before this, and he says, hey, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So that's who you are. And he believed that. And now Jesus says, this is what's going to happen. And Jesus is rebuked by Simon Peter. Simon Peter rebukes him. This is flesh rebuking deity. I mean, you talk about a contradiction here. This is flesh rebuking deity. And he says, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Here's what I know. When he said that, he was just as real and sincere as he could possibly be. He had the best of intentions when he said that to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you look at verse number 23, what you find is that Simon Peter is actually being used by the devil. You understand that? A disciple. We're not talking about some lost heathen, some pagan that knows nothing about God. We're talking about a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of his main disciples is being used. I'm not telling you he's possessed or filled. I'm just telling you he's being used by the devil. How do you know that? Well, look at verse 23. Jesus turned and said unto Peter, not to anybody else there. He looks right at Simon Peter and he says to him, get thee behind me, who? Satan. Now, was Peter actually Satan? No, he wasn't actually Satan. He's Peter. He's a follower of Christ. What the Lord is letting you know is that at this time, he's being used by the devil. He's a vessel at this moment in his life that's being used by the devil. That answers the question, can a Christian be used by the devil? Absolutely. A saved person, a saved, sincere saint of God can be used by the devil. That's reality. I want you to understand that the devil is not picky. He'll use anybody he can, any person he can, as a vessel to further his kingdom and to spread his lies and deception. He's not picky at all. It doesn't matter if it's a lost person or a saved person. It can be your husband. It can be your wife. It can be your children. It can be a brother or sister in Christ you go to church with, somebody you work with, somebody you hang out with. It could be anybody. Anybody can be used by the devil. And that's what I want to deal with in the message here this morning. I'm going to try my best to get through this. Already starting to run out of time. But I want to show you in the next few minutes how you can know. How do you know when you've crossed that line as a Christian and you are being used by the devil? Or how do you know when somebody that is speaking to you is being used by the devil? Well, I think you can look right here in these verses and get a pretty good idea of how you know when you or someone else is being used by the devil. First of all, let me say this. Here's something that stands out to me in the passage. When you or anyone else deny the word of the Lord, you are being used, or they are being used by the devil. Y'all listen to me now. Don't check out on me here. Look at verse number 21 again. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he, what's that word right there? Must. It was an absolute must. That he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things and so forth and so on. That's what Jesus said, right? That's the Lord speaking, telling his disciples, this is what is going to happen. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is what has to happen. I have to go there. I have to suffer. I have to die, and I have to be raised again the third day. That's his words to his disciples. And then immediately, look at verse 22, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee. And look at this now. This shall not be unto thee. You know what he's saying? Ain't gonna happen. Jesus said, this is what's going to happen. Did it happen, by the way? Yeah. Jesus said, this is going to happen. Do you know what Peter said? Peter said, Lord, I hear you, but it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. He denied the word of the Lord. He heard very clearly what the Lord said, and he said, look, I'm hearing you. I hear what you say, but that just ain't going to happen. He denied the word of the Lord. And any time, any person, I don't care who they are, and this is very critical, I don't care who they are, any time any person denies or in any way casts doubt in your mind about the truthfulness and the authenticity and the infallibility of the word of God, I promise you, irregardless of their motive, they are being used by the devil. Here's what I want every one of us to understand. There will never be any time in your life when the Holy Spirit of God tries to get you to doubt the Word of God. Not one time is that ever going to happen. So you really don't have to wrestle too much with it. If it's a situation where you're sitting in a service and somebody says something, or you're in a conversation and somebody says something, it doesn't matter. If they begin saying things that would cause you to have doubt in your mind or disbelieve the Bible, you need to recognize right then, that even if they have the best of intentions, that person is being used by the devil. They may not even realize it. I don't think for one second that Peter realized until Jesus rebuked him that he was being used by the devil. I believe he was sincere, he was honest in this, and he's like, look, Lord, I'm just not going to let that happen to you. But even though his motive was wrong, he was still being used by the devil. Anytime somebody denies what God says, they're being used. If it's a preacher, if it's a Sunday school teacher, doesn't matter who it is. When you hear things like this, and I'm mentioning these things specifically because this is the common stuff that you hear nowadays when you go to church. And this, what I'm about to say, is not a bragging statement at all. It's just a fact, okay? I'm just telling you. You're not going to hear these things that I'm about to say as long as I pastor this church and I have my right mind. I promise you, you're not going to hear this. You will hear it when you go other places. You will hear it in churches all over this county right here, the stuff that I'm fixing to say to you right now. You'll hear preachers say it. You'll hear Sunday school teachers say it. You'll hear Christians say it in their conversation because they've been taught this by some preacher or some teacher. They'll say something like, well, that word or that verse has been wrongly translated. That's terminology they'll use. You'll read something to them out of the Bible, or they'll read something, they'll say, and I know that's what it says, but that's not what it's supposed to say. It's been wrongly translated. And then they will proceed to correct the Bible and tell you what God should have said when he said it. That's what they'll do. Do it all the time. They'll say something like, well, that's not in the oldest and the best manuscripts. And because of that, it doesn't need to be in the Bible. Some of them, if y'all paid attention to things that I've taught you before, they just go ahead and take the whole verse, whole verses, whole passage completely out of the Bible, and they'll leave it. And what they'll say is that doesn't belong in the Bible because it's not in the oldest and the best manuscripts. They'll say something along the lines of, well, it's not in the originals. Anytime any man opens his mouth and tells you that something doesn't belong in the Bible because it wasn't in the original autographs, that man is a buffoon talking out of his head. Do y'all understand this morning there's not a person on this planet that's ever seen a copy of an original autograph? Y'all understand that? I think maybe I'm getting over some of you's head here this morning a little bit, but you really need to understand this because I'm telling you, you go to these Southern Baptist churches right here in this county, and I know folks say you ain't supposed to talk about somebody else's religion. I'll talk about any religion I want to and really don't care if you like it or not. Okay? If it's wrong, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll talk about independent Baptists when they're wrong. I'm not going to show favoritism to any religion or any denomination. If it doesn't line up with the Bible and it's wrong, I am going to point out where it's wrong, and I'm not going to apologize to anybody for it. And I'm telling you, go around these churches now, listen to these people preach, and it's amazing to me. They spend the majority of their time trying to convince their people what the Bible doesn't say instead of telling them what the Bible does say. And for the life of me, I cannot understand people that want to get up on Sunday morning and waste their time taking their family to that kind of church. I can't understand that. Why would you want to take you and your wife and your kids and sit under a man or a woman or anybody telling them that there's something wrong with the Bible? Why would you want to do that? Well, people do it all the time. A lot of people do it because they got stuff for their kids. Isn't that what it is? I tell you what they got for your kids. A bunch of lies is what they got for your kids. But because they stuff their mouths full of hot dogs and take them down to the beach, you'll send them on down there. I tell you what, friend, and hopefully nobody here is guilty of it, you better watch out because you're going to answer to God for that. God's not concerned about how many pizzas and hot dogs and all that mess your kids get to eat. He's concerned about their spiritual well-being. And this is especially true for the men of the house. These men that won't step up and get their family out of a godless, forsaken, hellcat church and put them in a church they can hear the Bible, that man's going to answer to God for that. He's going to stand before the Lord. It's a shame. Y'all say you act like you're aggravated. I'm aggravated a little bit. May get more before it's over. When somebody denies the Word of God, a better translation. Here's one that I hear all the time. There's no such thing as a perfect translation. There's only accurate and reliable translations. Do you know, I promise you before God, if you'll sit down and talk to them and they're an honest man, they'll tell you that what I'm fixing to say to you is the truth. There isn't a handful of preachers in Covington County that believe the Bible they're preaching out of is the perfect Word of God. Not a handful of them. I've talked to them. I'm telling you the God's truth. They don't believe it. You know what they believe? And I'm not even talking about preaching out of a King James Bible. I'm talking about preaching out of an NIV or a New American Standard or any of these other piles of trash that are out there nowadays. I'm not even talking about that. They'll tell you that the NIV is not even a perfect Bible. They don't even believe we have one today. The school that I went to was a Southern Baptist college, and not one professor that I had believed we have a perfect Bible today. Not one. And some of you think I'm exaggerating, I know. Here's what I challenge you to do. If you think Brother Keith's being dishonest in any way with you, instead of getting mad and pooching your lip out so far you trip over it, how about you be honest enough and have enough integrity to check out what I'm saying to you? I don't have a problem with you checking out what I say, because I'm telling you the God's truth this morning. There ain't a handful of preachers in Covenant County that still believe we have a Bible today. I don't know what they're doing. I really don't. I tell you what I think some of them are doing. They're making merchandise off of God's people, what they're doing. They're making a living off of people, and they don't even believe the Bible they're preaching out of. I give you my word, if the day comes where I stop believing every word in the Bible I'm preaching out of, I'll resign and get out of the ministry. Because it is a dishonest man that will stand up and say, we got a Bible here, and he don't even believe it in his heart. He don't even believe it. It's a shame. And people that go to these churches, and because he's charismatic and he's, you know, got charisma and he's got a nice suit on, you know, most of them don't wear a suit, it's stonewashed breeches with the knees blowed out of them, something that most people would throw away. That's what they wear to preach in nowadays. Don't even look like a preacher. Got enough hair product in their hair that if somebody lit a cigarette, it'd blow the whole place up. That's the honest to God truth. Don't believe the Bible because they're swaying back and forth and they're playing music. Sounds like something that come out of a jungle somewhere. We having church this morning. No, you're not having church either. Amen. Not having church. You're having a mess is what you're having. I can tell some of you ain't with me. Well, that's all right. I'll just set the plow a little deeper. Because what I'm telling you is the truth. I'm telling you what a lot of people don't have enough guts to tell you this morning. Because before God, I'm more concerned about pleasing him than I am pleasing anybody in this building. It wouldn't matter to me if you got with me after service and said you're fired and you can't come back. I'm not going to back up on anything I'm saying to you this morning. When a man or a woman denies the Bible, they're being used by the devil. That's just the cold, hard truth of the matter. They're being used by the devil. When they tell you that something the Bible says isn't going to happen, they're being used by the devil. That's something that the devil did, and I'm not going to get finished, but I'm just going to deal with what I can here. If you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, the first time that the devil ever shows up in the Bible, have y'all ever heard, just ask, anybody in here ever heard of the law of first mention when it comes to the Bible, the law of first mention? It's the first time that something shows up in the Bible that sets the precedence for how that thing's going to be throughout the Scripture. And if you'll check it, you'll find that the majority of the time it's right on. The first time it shows up, whatever that thing means, whatever that person does, whatever it represents, the first time it shows up in the Bible, if you'll follow that thing all the way through, you'll see it doing the same things all the way through the Bible. So it's very, very important to notice the first time that something appears in the Bible. The very first time that the devil shows up in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3. Y'all know that? First time. The first time that he shows up in the Bible, what does he do? First time he shows up in the Bible, what does he do? He attacks the Word of God, does he not? If you can read your Bible, you know that's the truth. The first thing he does, he comes into that garden and he starts talking with Eve, and he says, is this what God says? First of all, kind of trying to get her to doubt what God's saying. And she says, yeah, God said this. He said, look, if you eat of that, you're going to die. And the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Then what did he do? He said, thou shalt not surely die. He said just the opposite of what God said. So anytime you're dealing with somebody and they tell you that something God said is not going to happen, you know what you're doing? You're talking with an individual that is being used by the devil. The devil did it. It's something that Simon Peter did later on. Hold your place here and go over to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I'm not going to give you my opinion about it. I'm just telling you the truth. And that's the thing that I've never understood is people that take exception with me about what I believe. I cannot ever, ever, ever get them to argue. And I'm not trying to argue, but I can't ever get them to have a discussion with it from the perspective of the Bible. I'll say things like what I'm saying right now to you, and they'll say, well, I just don't see it that way. And here's what I'll ask them. I'll say, okay, it's possible that I'm wrong. Would you please show me from the Bible where I'm wrong and how you have come to believe what you believe about the Bible? They can't do it. They can't do it. They won't talk to me about it. You know what they do? They get mad and they post things on Facebook. I'm going to tell you something now. This isn't a slam on Facebook, but I'm fixing to tell you something. And I stand behind what I'm fixing to say. If the only time you can say something about somebody is on Facebook, you're a yellow-bellied coward is all you are. If you ain't got enough guts to call somebody up and look them in the face and sit down with them and talk to them and tell them how you stand, you are a coward is what you are. And you ain't got no business commenting on anything, anything if you're that much of a coward. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, he's talking to his disciples again, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. And why did he say that? For it is written. Jesus is talking here, right? If you won't believe me, please believe him. For it is written, he quotes from Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 7. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Jesus says, all of you are going to be offended, and the reason you're going to be offended is because that's what the Bible says is going to happen. The Word of God says that's going to happen. Verse 32, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Here he is again. Bless his heart. And then what we say down here in the South, God love him. Bless his little heart. Peter just can't get out of his own way sometimes. And again, he says this with the best of intentions. He's sincere. I'm going to tell you what, Simon Peter loved the Lord. He really did. I believe he loved him more than many of us in this building here this morning. But he just, sometimes he was misguided. He was used by the devil in his life. Verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now Jesus just gave him the Word of God, didn't he? He said, every last one of you is going to be offended, and you're going to be offended because that's what the Bible says. Well, here's old Simon Peter. He means it. He's sincere. Hey, Jesus, I hear what you're saying, but it ain't going to be me. All the rest of this month may bail out on you, but I'm not going to bail out. I'm going to stay with you all the way. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. You know what he did? What did Simon Peter do that night? Exactly what Jesus said he was going to do, didn't he? Exactly what the Bible said he was going to do. Anytime somebody tells you that what God says isn't going to happen, they're being used by the devil. And here, I'm going to just stop with this. This is what I challenge you to do. I'm issuing a challenge to you. Read the New Testament. just the New Testament. Start in Matthew and go all the way through the end. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find place after place after place after place where either the Lord Jesus Christ or another of the people that wrote things in the Bible quote the scripture. Y'all following me? I just showed you one. Jesus just quoted from Zechariah 13. He did it all the time when he's teaching and preaching. He'd say something and he'd say, because it's what the Bible says. Paul did it. All the writers of the New Testament do it. They go back to the Old Testament and they'll quote something from the Old Testament and put it right down in the New Testament. They'll translate it from Hebrew, because that's what the Old Testament for the most part is written in, right? In Hebrew. They'll translate it from Hebrew into Greek, which is what the majority of the New Testament is translated into, in Greek. And I challenge you to do this. Find me one place. I don't mean a whole bunch. Just find me one place in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus or any writer of Scripture quoted from the Old Testament and said any of the nonsense that you hear people say now when they stand and preach or teach. Find me one place where Jesus ever said something like this. Well, now, guys, I know this is what it said back in Zechariah, but that really ain't what should have been said, so let me tell you what needs to be said. Find me one place where Jesus Christ ever did that. Find me one place where the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian ever lived on this earth outside of Jesus Christ, ever did that. One place where he said, look, to the church at Ephesus or wherever, whoever he's writing to, and he quotes where he says, now I know that's what it said back there, but a better translation of that would be. Find me one place where any writer in the New Testament ever does that. They don't. You know why? Because the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul, and everybody that writes in that New Testament is being filled and led by the Holy Spirit of God. And anybody that's being used by the Spirit of God will never cast doubt on the Word of God. I don't care how good a man can preach. I don't care what he can look like. I don't care how good Sister So-and-so can give you her Sunday school lesson, how charismatic she is, and how many people she helps. I don't care how well-meaning they are. And I'm not telling you that all these people are bad people and they're sorry people. I'm not telling you they're lost people. There are a lot of good, nice, well-meaning people that are being used by the devil. And there are a lot of folks that are buying into it. I'm out of time. I'm just going to stop. How do you know when you're being used or someone else is being used? If anybody ever comes into your life, anybody, and they cause you to have any doubt in your mind about what God says, just let it be a red flag. Just know this person, even though they may be my friend, they may be somebody that I love and that loves me, right now they're being used as a vessel to accomplish what the devil wants. Let's bow our heads for prayer.